everything. Did you remember to sleep? What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly brought to you this January thanks to Shoreside Theatre's Shakespeare in the Park. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe. Thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz, and check us out on Spotify. Tonight, Nathan Fry is in the studio with his latest music. He's playing live. We're checking in with an innovative company called Narrative Muse, and Broadway Dreams are here to update us on their latest dreams. But first, to kick off the show, there's been a lot of cowboys and cowgirls in Auckland over the weekend, and if you're wondering why, it's because Luke Combs was in the city with his fabulous music, Rocking Eden Park. So let's start with his track, Ain't No Love in Oklahoma. Ain't No Love in Oklahoma from his album Twisters. Lots of things happening in the city at the moment, Emma. Just no trains or transport to get to them.
I know. It's been a bit crazy.
It has. It has. How's your week?
Yeah, good. I'm actually really loving having a January. And what I mean by that
is usually somewhere in the world.
I'm usually not in New Zealand, or I'm somewhere else in New Zealand running a holiday program. So it's been great. And my house is slowly looking normal again.
Ooh. The tidy up, the massive tidy up.
The massive tidy up. Well, like we were talking a few weeks ago about how you finish a show and you're so busy that you just dump the boxes. Yep. And, like, I'm finding boxes which have got stuff in them from shows 4 years ago. Mm. And I'm, like, going, I never unpacked that box. That was 4 years ago and it's in the back of the garage.
Yeah.
The amount of now, this is going to sound really dodgy. The amount of alcohol I've thrown out, because with Queen Street, we've had some gaps between gigs and I've put alcohol at the back of the garage and I'm unpacking it and the beer's expired. Like, holy crap. Such a waste.
You know what I hate post-show is the bags of lost property. Oh, you know, when you've done a big show and you've got a cast, massive cast, and then you end up with all the lost property that no one ever wants.
The aluminium drink bottles.
Oh, yes.
But anyway. You've had a busy week.
I have. Caught lots of shows. So headed to Melbourne and caught up with Sister Act. Fabulous. Tina, the Tina Turner musical. Always good. But the new one for me in the mix was Dear Evan Hansen. I know you've seen it, but that was my first time seeing it. Wow. What a musical. Mm. And amazing credit. It was the understudy on. It was absolutely outstanding. But also headed down to Tauranga and caught the opening of Tauranga Music Theatre's Fame Junior on Friday night, which was all done by a creative team under the age of 16. So I think the choreographer was 14, director was 16, lighting person 16, sound, etc. Outstanding. I've seen Fame Junior many, many times. This was next level, made so mainly because of the lighting. You know, it reminded me we used to take a lot of risks when we did lighting and we tried different things. This guy did it. Yeah, it was full credit to them. So if you're in Tauranga, it's on for the next couple of weeks. Go and check them out.
Awesome.
Now, we've got some fabulous guests lined up tonight and a real mix from music to Broadway to a very interesting, innovative idea. So we're going to welcome Bro from Narrative Muse. Welcome to the show.
Kia ora.
Great to have you here. And a very young man who we played his music only a couple of weeks ago, but tonight he's going to play live, plus we'll play one of his tracks, and that's Nathan Fry. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
We're going good. So, Bro, we're going to kick it off with you first of all. Tell us a little bit, what is Narrative Muse? You get to do a full infomercial here. Go for it.
That's so funny. Sure. So Narrative Muse is a place where folks like you and I can go and find tailored recommendations of books, movies, and television shows that suit your taste and your identity. And on the other side, we help folks inside of the screen and the publishing sector better understand underserved audiences. It's really important to us. Our vision is representation and belonging in entertainment. So we really, really want to support those that are less exposed or less don't show up as often on the page and on the screen.
So is it a website or an app?
Great question. So for everyday people like you and I, you can just go, it's a website. You can go and get recommendations at narrativemuse.com. And we'll ask you questions about who you are, your taste, what you're into, and help you find those tailored recommendations.
So what kind of people? That sounds terrible. Who's making the recommendations?
That's a really great question. So the recommendations are actually made by a whole bunch of people who are reading and watching these shows and reading these books and watching these movies. So everything is done by real humans, real people who are part of our community that are really excited about things that they're reading and watching. And we just, it's important for us to really connect with the content and connect with the people reading and watching stuff.
I love that you said real people making recommendations.
Because
I suppose in this, in this day and age, it'd be quite easy just to type in, I like romance and diddler, and AI just pops up a list of books to read.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important for us that not only are the recommendations coming from everyday folks, but also that on the other side of it, when we're helping with the screen or helping the screen and helping the publishing sector understand readers and understand viewers, that they're actually getting information from real people about what real people are interested in reading and watching. And this is really important because it's really easy for us to put people into boxes about what it is that people are interested in and who we are as humans, and we want to do everything we can to really show and express what people are really wanting today. And this is particularly important for underrepresented communities because those folks often, we create stereotypes of what people are interested in, and when we create those stereotypes, it's really easy to continue creating stuff that doesn't necessarily reflect those people very well. So we want to do our best to really understand what people people are wanting to watch and read.
Very cool.
One of the big things about AI, I guess, is that it learns with you. So with something like this, does it continue to learn as people with people? Like, do I comment on things that I've then watched and gone, actually, it wasn't for me? And does it tweak what it suggests?
So we don't use AI in that way. We don't actually use AI at all inside of Narrative Muse. Everyone assumes that we do.
I was just meaning that that's sort of the selling point of AI. Can people do the same?
Yeah, so with the way that the recommendation engine works is it's actually, there is, so people are putting in their recommendations of things that they want us to watch and read, but then the way that we're tailoring those recommendations to everyday people is we actually, there's an algorithm in the background that's specifically working to match what your interests are to the interests of the books, movies, and TV shows, or what is inside of them. So it's data science, actually. It's that's the technical part behind Narrative Muse, is really understanding the depth of what's inside of that story and the depth of what people really want to watch and read as well.
Very cool. So, Nathan, what kind of movies do you, and books do you... Are you a reader?
Not really, no.
Not really?
Not as much as I should, probably.
Movies, though?
Yeah, I watch a bit of movies, yeah.
Any particular genre that stands out to you that you like watching?
Usually action stuff, yeah.
Fair enough. Action and fast cars?
Yeah.
Fast and furious. Just, you know, you see, we're putting you in a box already. Yeah, we're going, teen boy, what would a teen boy want to watch?
What's actually really interesting is from what we can see from New Zealand, it's not that common for people to want to watch action movies. So you really are sitting outside of the box as far as what people tend to want to watch. So
there you go.
Sitting the bar, mate. Sitting the bar.
I want to know, does Die Hard sit as a Christmas movie or an action movie, though? You know, that's those kind of things.
We'll unpack more about Narrative Muse over the next little while. Nathan, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, so I'm a upcoming local musician around Auckland, and I'm based down in the North Shore and do gigs all over the place. But, yeah, I've been playing guitar and singing since I was about 6 years old, and actually started playing drums when I was six as well. And played drums for just 10 years now, so I've got my grade 8 distinction through doing all my exams and stuff. And yeah, it's been going super good. I've really found my passion through singing and playing guitar and making music and performing and stuff, so it's been great. I've been doing all sorts of gigs.
And now onto the recording side of things as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been pretty busy and writing my own music and coming up with things, and I've got some cool recording gear in my bedroom, which I've been using a lot, and recently just recorded two singles called Forget About Everything and Beginning of Freedom, which are both on Spotify.
So, in your bedroom, what does that mean for mum, dad, and your sister? How do they deal with the noise and you practicing?
It's quite funny, actually. Every time I need to go press record, I have to open my door and tell everyone to be quiet. And then close the door and pray they don't make a noise while I'm recording. But
so you haven't tried to soundproof your room yet? There's not. Egg cartons all over the wall. Isn't that easy way to do it?
I did for a second. I put pillows up around the walls for a bit and it made a bit of a difference, but I've just chosen to...
tell everyone to leave.
Yeah, tell everyone to be quiet.
All right, guys, get to the mall, I'm recording.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun.
Mind you, if he's been playing drums for that long, I'd say the family's pretty used to the noise.
Yeah. I had a drum kit since I was about seven. So,
are you still at school or have you finished school?
Yeah, I'm still at school, going into year 12 now.
Okay, cool. Okay, so this is a good early kickoff for the career to be recording and getting this music down now.
Yeah, that's super fun.
Nice. Long-term goals? Where do you want to take this?
Definitely the biggest long-term goal is to become a famous musician outside of New Zealand internationally, which would be awesome. And that's what I'm, you know, working on now, writing my own music, trying to get it out there and do as many performances as I can and get seen by as many people as I can. But yeah.
So who's your inspiration? Who's overseas doing what you want to do that you would kind of inspire to be?
Yeah, so my inspiration musicians are Jack Johnson. He's awesome, love his music, play a lot of it, and do some of his covers when I'm playing live. But Mitch James, New Zealand artist, love what he does.
I was a school teacher.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so I love his stuff. And John Mayer as well, him on his electric guitar and doing all the things he does is just wicked. So, yeah, look up to all of those guys. But
so what do you enjoy more, doing covers or playing your own?
Yeah, that's a good question. I love playing my covers, doing performances and gigs, because everyone sings along and, you know, knows the songs really well and has a great time. But I also love getting the reaction out of people when I say, hey, this next one's my song. And
nice.
Play a song, and it's super cool to see how they react after that. But yeah, it's awesome having some songs out now, just some demos for the moment, so people get to hear some of my music. Mm. Yeah,
awesome.
And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. You know, it's getting this music up on, you know, the Apple, the Spotify, etc. Mm. For people who now just like to just let Apple choose what you listen to. You know, totally. And there's been a number of weeks I've played somebody that's just popped up while I'm driving because Apple's decided I'd like it. I mean, it's very similar to the path that you're talking about, bro. And that's what you want. It's just those moments that then suddenly the right person hears that song.
Yep, definitely.
Has Narrative Muse looked at music in its mix? Is that a potential?
It's a great question. A lot of people ask us about music, and they ask us about video games. Which is understandable why they do. You know, already covering books, movies, and TV is a lot. In lots of ways, we find it already challenging that we're across those three different areas, but we don't see music in the near future now. Okay.
Are you New Zealand-based, or has this started somewhere else?
Yeah, started here in Auckland in Tamaki Makaurau. So I have a US accent.
You do?
But I've lived here in Aotearoa for 22 years.
Wow.
And this accent is never going anywhere, it seems. we're based here in Tamaki, although we do have a handful of people that are kind of scattered throughout Aotearoa. And we have a handful of folks that help us from overseas, but we're mostly based here.
Great. Speaking of research, do you do a lot of research around artists and sort of their journey to help shape yours?
Yeah, definitely. I've always looking up the people I'm listening to and seeing how they started off and watching their live performances and seeing how they do it all and link everything together. But I find it super interesting and definitely take some tips from everyone. So, yeah.
How do you think you're going to be affected with the TikTok ban in America?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've tried putting my songs on TikTok. I don't know how that will affect me. No, haven't thought about it.
I've seen a few people posting today saying that they've already, you know, just different things popping up saying this is not available because of the US ban.
It's happened. Mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting too is to see how much content we were getting from America. Like, does that now restrict users here going, actually, my content's not as good, or is it better because it's removed part of it? I don't know. Interesting. Mm. Interesting. Take us back, both of you. So, bro, first of all, when did you sort of first get, I guess, excited or into this field? When did it kick off for you?
Yeah, that's cool. So I never thought I'd work in tech. It's very strange that I do. I was a film and TV editor for a really long time. Yeah. And one of the projects I'm most proud of is a TV show that they also turned into a movie called Hururangi. And Hururangi takes place in Taranaki. And it has Els Carrad as the lead actor, and it won an Emmy, which is really cool. Sometimes we get to... I know that we're not supposed to talk about our highlights here in New Zealand, but I'm really proud of the work that we all did on that. And so I started in editing, and while working inside of editing, became really interested in why we make what we make and what's being made. And it's really common for us all to work on these productions and then for those productions not to actually get to viewers. It's really common in New Zealand, and I would like to see more people watching more New Zealand content and the stuff that we're creating. And it was just really, really important to me that we find our way to that. But also, I've always just been so involved in social impact and really interested in humanity and how we do things and that we're looking after each other. And I guess the combination of entertainment and social impact came together in that way for me. And then we accidentally created a tech company, which is still very strange, even though it's been all these years later. But I'm really proud of the work that we do. And sometimes you find your ways to finding solutions to things just because that's what's needed. Mm. So.
When you say we, who's the team with you?
Yeah, so Teresa Bass is the co-founder, and she is a screenwriter, and Nigel Lopez McBean is the co-CEO with myself. So I'm the co-CEO and co-founder of Narrative Muse, and then we have a collection of others. Like I said, I mentioned data science, so we've got our technical team and our data scientist Leslie Pan, and we've got a handful of other folks that are working with us, as well as all of those curators that I mentioned who are curating that content.
That's cool. Big team.
Yeah, it sounds so much bigger than it is. Most of us are actually working part-time.
Right.
So when I work full-time, but am not paid for working full-time because we just are not in a position for that to be possible. But it does require a lot of different skills across what we're doing. And so because it requires so many skills, we've just found a way to have folks help in their ways as they do with the time that they have available. So, yeah.
Brilliant. And Nathan, you mentioned making music when you were 6, I think you said. Is that what kicked it off?
Yeah, so what probably kicked it off most was through my parents, actually. My dad was in rock bands during high school and has played guitar for his whole life as well. So
cool.
I definitely grew up around it and, picked up a guitar when I was about 6 or 7 and learnt from him, which was awesome, and had a couple teachers since then and, I've been playing since, yeah.
That's awesome. Are you going to let him play in one of your concerts in years to come?
Could do.
You know?
Yeah, why not?
The old rocker at the back with the guitar.
Yeah, just a backup guitar. Could be cool.
Love it. Now, you're going to sing live for us, so tell us about the song.
Yeah, so this song called Forget About Everything. I've written it about kind of catching up with someone, if you've got somebody you haven't seen in a while after, like, a lot has happened. And, it's about, like, taking a sec and forgetting about everything. This song's called Forget About Everything.
All right, now Emma's going to Facebook Live it if you
want
to.
Oh, you want me to Facebook Live it?
Oh, no, what are you doing?
I was just going to video it and
do
then
whatever.
Post it.
Oh, yeah, do that. That
just
sounds good.
Just in case we drop out,
good idea. All right.
Cool.
Take it away, mate.
Awesome.
It's all yours.
It was 2 a.m. in the morning. Pictures on the wall, they are falling down. My Discord thoughts are storming. Can never quite find out who we are. Been here before, been now. It's different. Things have changed, some things are missing. I'm seeking my way out. And it is hot that you make a baby. I haven't seen you lately. Oh, I've been waiting for a while just to see you again. These times they are all changing. Drama is never ending. We gotta take a sec, forget about everything. Forget about everything. Time to change the drawing. It's getting clearer in my head. Lines are reforming. And everything is making sense. Seen this before with a different vision. Eyes are wide, no things are missing. I'm seeing my way out. And it is hard that you make a baby. I haven't seen you lately. Oh, I've been waiting for a while just to see you again. These times they are all changing. Drama is never ending. We gotta take a sec, forget about everything. Forget about everything. Oh, I've been waiting for a while just to see you again. These times they are all changing. Drama is never ending. We gotta take a sec, forget about everything. Forget forget about everything. Forget about everything.
Ooh.
Nathan Fry, live in the Kick Arts studio. Dad taught you some good guitar skills, man.
Yeah, did I?
You've got the vocals, but that guitar as well. Awesome. What
Thank
a combo.
You so much. Yeah.
Yeah. And hard coming into a studio like this and playing live. So well done.
Thank you.
There we go. Bro, your turn. Now what's up for your side? Singing, dancing?
He used to dance, but I don't think that you can do that on radio.
No,
so it's
no.
not going to work.
No, great sound, mate. Great sound.
Thank you so much.
When you're writing music, where's your inspiration coming from? Because you're young. Mm. Where do you sort of pull the stories from?
Yeah, usually my writing process is kind of making the music side first. I find that I can make melodies and make beats and put a musical song together with ease and have a lot of fun with it, experimenting with different yeah. instruments and sounds and everything.
And then create the lyrics.
And then the lyrics kind of come over top
opposite.
Of it.
Yeah, okay.
Whether it's something I've gone through or something that someone else has gone through, I tend to write about things like that or just like having a good time or like different vibes and yeah things like that.
Yeah. One of your parents sitting in the other room listening to the songs and going, okay, so that's what's going through his world today.
Mm.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool because it's interesting, Emma, the different guests we've had on and that writing process. Mm. And so many write the lyrics first and then have to put the music to it. But I quite like that other style.
Mm. Yeah, I do it either way. Sometimes I get a line in my head that pops up and write it down quickly and go home and make a song out of it. But yeah.
At this young age, is there a theme to your music in the sense, like, are you working towards a specific album so you want it all to fit within a certain vibe or feel, or is it, nah, just whatever comes
yeah,
out?
Yeah, well, I love listening to, like, you know, your summer music, like New Zealand bands like 660, and there's some Australian bands, Sticky Fingers and Ocean Alley, like those sort of summer sounds, and I love that stuff, so I love writing in that kind of genre and hopefully in the future make an album similar. Mm. Or Jack Johnson stuff, yeah, like similar styles.
Cool,
yeah,
cool. How do you get yourself exposed then in New Zealand? What's your, I guess, what's your research telling you, or what's the goal other than doing gigs like this coming on and spreading your music?
Mm.
How do you get out there so that by the time you leave school, you've got something to step into?
Yeah, that's a good one, and obviously you figure that out as you go with it. But my step so far has been taking every opportunity I can. Doing gigs, whether it's playing at markets or something, I message them, hey, need a musician for Sunday, get called up and
Great.
Go play for some hours and go busking and doing things like that. And I've got my business cards and everything with me, so people take them and then I get a message, hey, come play at my gig, play at my party,
you know,
all that stuff. So it just grows and grows and keeps going, which is awesome.
Yeah, but that is the way. I think, I mean, last year alone, 3 or 4 young artists that have come in here, we've managed to get that. We get asked all the time for corporate events, you know, who's someone young and upcoming that we can recommend. We send them off, you and some money,
awesome.
And it's, you know, that's the exposure that you want.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Bro, back to you with Narrative Muse. Tell us, if I'm a brand new user, how do I sign up? What's the process? What's the cost? How does it all work for me?
Totally. It's actually super easy. So again, you just go to narrativemuse.com, create an account. You need to create an account simply because it lets you be able to come back and continue to find, like, any recommendations that you've been given to, you can find them again. But you just go on, you answer some questions about what you're into, and then you just get recommendations. It's really very simple. The reason why we ask you questions about what you're into is because we have found that other types of algorithms that exist in the world use... Sorry, we're going to talk science for a second. Other algorithms do something called collaborative filtering, which basically is that thing that's like, if he or she likes, then you might like as well. And we wanted to really be able to help a lot of like independent authors, independent filmmakers, really be able to rise to the surface. And so those books are just as easy to find as the popular things, because unfortunately a lot of algorithms, the way that they work is all the super popular stuff gets, you get to see it first. So we want to make sure that anything that would suit you your taste of stuff that you can find too. So super easy to find. And something that we're going to be doing in the near future is actually doing a, this is specifically for the publishing sector here in New Zealand. We really want to help the publishing sector better understand what New Zealand readers are into reading. So we're going to be doing a New Zealand reader report. That sounds so boring, but for your everyday person, we're going to be learning even more deeply what it is that people are interested in reading so that we can help those publishers understand what readers want today. Because we can see that it's constantly changing, and so we really want to help those folks out. Yeah.
So can people contact you that have written a book and that's self-published? Because we had a lot of self-published authors on the show.
Yeah,
with some fabulous books.
Absolutely. So my favorite people to talk to are actually independent authors.
Okay.
Indie authors. I say that because indie authors are so excited about the craft and also are just so clever and thoughtful about how to get their books in front of their readers. It's something that you have to do when you're an indie author. And so indie authors, the way that we can help and work with them is help them understand how to market to their readers or know where their readers are and how best to find those readers. Indie authors are just so onto it with thinking about how to sell their books, where their readers are, how to use social media to tap them and get to them. Those who are authors that work inside a traditional publishing or have a traditional publisher publish their works, a lot of those authors have to be really good at selling their own books as well. It's required by a lot of publishers that they can do that. And there is this quality about indie authors that have like a real go-get'em attitude, just so exciting to work with them and talk to them about what they're up to.
Yeah. We need to do that when we promote this on social media. Emma mentioned that for all our so many self-published authors that we've had on.
Yeah.
Is there a cost involved for me, the consumer, coming on?
Oh, so just your average person who's using the recommendation engine, which is any of us? No, it's not. So it's free to use. The cost is for the anyone who's working with us to understand those audiences through the insights and analytics. So something that's really important for us is security. So while we're learning about what people want to read and why, we built in very deeply a way in which it's impossible for us to know any particular person's interests.
Right.
So when you sign on, you'll always know your stuff and the stuff that you've been recommended and get more recommendations. But then the information just kind of becomes this cloud of information. And then we take it and we are able to pull out analytics and insights for our authors and for our publishers and for our screen folks and commissioners, anyone who needs to better understand those readers and those watchers. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, people listening, you need to jump on and take a look and sign on up. Nathan, something Bro just said there made me think, have you got a manager? Like, we talk about these authors, self-published authors, and the work that they do to publish their own works, their own marketing, everything.
Yeah.
Are you heading down that path, or are you looking in the hope?
Totally. At the moment, it's actually my mum that's doing most of the stuff, helping with the social media.
Kelly. And the
gig booking and all of that stuff. So she's absolutely awesome. And
Have you come through any of the smoke-free competitions or the Platt Strange or any of those yet?
No, I haven't, because I'm not part of a band anymore. I've done a few school bands, but I stopped those to focus on my own solo stuff. But I did Rockquest with my band during COVID times and when it was online, and won Best Guitarist for that, which was awesome. So
maybe, though, Rockquest to try and do the solo gig, follow in Emerson's footsteps, maybe?
Could do, yeah, of course.
Cool. Juggling it with school, what's the plan for the next couple of important school years?
Yeah, so I've been doing music through school forever, and this year doing my level 3 NCEA. So yeah, working on music through school and out of school, it's easy. It's a good balance.
Do you think when you finish school you'll go on to study further sort of in the university space when it comes to music?
Yeah, could do. Haven't really thought about it too much, but at the moment I'm just really working as hard as I can to get my name out there and my music.
Cool. How far away is the next track?
Ooh, not sure.
Oh, okay.
Putting together, hopefully, what to be an album and in the future.
Nice. All right, we're going to take a listen to one more of your tracks, and then both of you can remind our listeners where we can find out all about you. And this one is Beginning of Freedom.
sleep under the stars tonight. Daisy chains around our necks, our thumb pops, the light reflects, leave our footprints in the sand. We're never looking back again. It's the beginning of freedom, concept in time. We don't know what it is. The sun burns our lives. The sun burning all she got to be there. All right. Beginning of freedom. Long day, sun bleached hair. Ocean.
And tell us, what is it like when you're sitting in the studio listening to yourself on the radio?
It's pretty awesome because, you know, that's the goal, to get your music out there. And when it's playing on a radio station, I don't think it could get any better. It's pretty awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, and it's not the first time we've played it. So you're getting some good airtime here on Planet FM.
Do you ever hear things like, I know that this is a newer track, but do you ever listen back to older tracks and adapt and change, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Like, these are just the demo versions that I put out now. Mm. And I'm sure when I get into this proper studio, I'll be tweaking things and changing things.
And so, doing radio versions.
Yeah.
three minute long songs.
You've got some upcoming gigs. What's happening? What's coming up?
Yeah, so my big one, next weekend, I'm playing at the Takapuna Beach Summer Days Festival on the 25th. I'm on the stage at 4:30, so come along. Yeah, it should be awesome.
Awesome. Do you prefer playing live to recording?
Yeah. Live's awesome.
You like that live reaction?
Yeah, to get that crowd reaction, and yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Do you still play the drums much for things?
Yeah, still play the drums. Not as much. I used to play drums in bands and things like that. But I love drumming at home and playing along to songs. Yeah.
So if you go into a studio, do you think you will play the drums on your own tracks?
Yeah, for sure. I'll do every instrument because I also play bass guitar and play a bit of piano. And yeah, I'd love to play every instrument on my songs.
Very cool. And it'll save you money too.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Love it. Now, bro, just before we wrap, you were mentioning sort of off-air sort of ways that you can help publishers sort of understand what people are reading, etc. Tell us about that.
Yeah, totally. So we're putting out, I was saying, it's got a boring title right now, which is just a free New Zealand reader report, but it's specifically for independent authors and all authors and folks inside of New Zealand publishing to understand what readers are really keen to read right now, because we can see that things are always changing. And so one of the ways that what folks who use Narrative Muse can do is by them just simply finding recommendations. They're really helping the local New Zealand publishers understand what folks want to read. And why this is so important is because we find out really deep information about particular groups of people. So folks from different cultural backgrounds, people who are from the queer community, etc. And these things, and everyday people that don't necessarily fit inside of these boxes, more mainstream audiences. But the reason why all that's really important is as you're finding your recommendations, we get to find out really important information for our local publishers. And so we're going to be going out pretty heavily in the next couple months to really get to know even more deeply what local New Zealand readers are keen to read. And that, like I said, is really important both for the publishers and for the authors. But it's also really important for readers because a lot of anecdotal conversations, we are always hearing that people are still looking for more stories that don't necessarily reflect them. And that isn't necessarily just through identity stuff. It can also just be really into fantasy and we're not publishing a lot of that, you know, or really into science fiction. We're not publishing as much of that locally. A lot of our independent authors absolutely are. But it's just really helpful for everyday readers to tell us what they're into. So you're doing that every time you are getting recommendations from Narrative Muse as well.
Brilliant. And a reminder, it's free to sign up. So where do they head? Tell them one more time.
NarrativeMuse.com, and that is narrative, like you're hearing, and then M-U-S-E, NarrativeMuse.com.
Awesome. Love to hear how many listeners sign up this week as they listen. And Nathan, where can they head to track your music down, listen, follow you, stalk you, find out when you're next playing?
Yeah, cool. So I'm on Spotify now, Nathan Fry, and my Instagram is Nathan_Fry_music, and my website, nathanfrymusic.co.nz, and you'll find my upcoming gigs, and there's a form there to fill out to apply for gigs. So
yeah. Awesome.
Yay.
Cool. Get them along to your next gig. Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. Thanks for spending your Sunday night with us. Yeah. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We'll look forward to catching up in the future and hearing where the road has taken you both.
Thank you so much.
Brilliant. And as I said at the start of the show, managed to catch the fabulous Dear Evan Hansen last weekend. Here is Waving Through a Window from that very show.
I've learned to slam on the brake before I even turn the key, before I make the mistake, before I lead with the worst of me. Give them no reason to stare, no slipping up if you slip away. So I got nothing to share, no, I got nothing to say. Step out of the sun if you keep getting burned. Step out of the sun because you've learned, because you've learned. On the outside, always looking in, will I ever be more than I've always been? Cause I'm tapping on the glass, waving through a window. Oh, I try to speak but nobody can hear, so I wait around for an answer to appear while I'm watching people. I'm waving through a window. Can anybody see? Is anybody waving back at me? We start with stars in our eyes. We start believing that we belong. But every sun doesn't rise, and no one tells you where you went wrong. Step out of the sun if you keep getting burned. Step out of the sun because you've learned, because you've learned. On the outside, always looking in, will I ever be more than I've always been? Cause I'm tapping on the glass, waving through a window. I try to speak, but nobody can hear, so I wait around
Can anybody see? Is anybody waving? When you're falling in a forest and there's nobody around, do you ever really crash or even make a sound? When you're falling in a forest and there's nobody around, do you ever really crash or even make a sound? When you're falling in a forest and there's nobody around, do you ever really crash or even make a sound? When you're falling in a forest and there's nobody around, do you ever really crash or even make a sound? Did I even make a sound? Did I even make a sound? It's like I never made a sound. Did I ever make a sound?
A musical theatre song with four people now in the studio who are musical theatre people.
I have to be careful when I live in those mics because anyone could be singing. But first of all, before you introduce them, just shout out to Sydney Theatre Company for doing that as a national tour around Australia. Mm. Awesome show. Well done. If you're still in Melbourne, go and see it.
Definitely. Now, we've had a change of people into the studio.
We have.
So now we've got two of the amazing interns from a program happening in Tamaki Makaurau right now, and that is Broadway Dreams New Zealand. Welcome to the studio for the first time, Matt Bruce.
Hello.
And welcome back for, I think, the third time to...
Frequent flyer,
Tia Ormsby.
Kia ora, kia ora.
So, first of all, Matt, tell us, for listeners that don't know, what is Broadway Dreams?
That's a great question. Broadway Dreams is a not-for-profit charitable trust that was started by a Kiwi, actually. She was living over in the States, and she started this company. They take it all around the world. They go to countries like Brazil. They've been to Germany. They've been to Russia, New Zealand. Tia, add more if there's other countries. I think that's it.
Well, I suppose they do. They do so many
places
around America,
and they go all around the States as well.
Yeah.
And they basically take Broadway professionals, they take directors, choreographers, producers, agents, all around the world, basically, to show them what talent lies beyond the States, which is awesome to get that experience. And somewhere like New Zealand, where we don't really get opportunities like that, and so to have, you know, Tony-nominated directors or performers coming to our shores and working alongside us is... kind of a dream come true.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, Tia, when did you first get introduced to Broadway Dreams?
This was back in 2020. I believe I was just starting high school. Some of my friends did it the year before, and I was really inspired. So I came along to the workshops and, yeah, loved every bit of it. Loved working with Broadway stars such as Jen Kalela, I don't know, it was like, for little Tia, it was such a eye-opener, and then I was super-duper lucky enough to get chosen to attend their New York showcase, which they do. They, like, choose...
I think they have about 50 people from around the world.
Yeah, 50 people from around the world.
Usually only two or three New Zealanders
each
time. Yeah,
like the top 2% of each state or each country... to go to New York and perform a showcase in front of, like, big Broadway stars and casting directors. That was where my journey kicked off.
So you mentioned workshops before. So students coming in and learning from these Broadway experts over a series of, is it days, weeks? How long
we
is it?
We have 1 week.
Yep.
One big week intensive. As well as the workshops, we're also, like... making a showcase
Great.
In that week as well. So, yeah.
So, at the end of the week, something to perform back.
Yeah. Nice. To show our whānau, show our friends all our hard work.
Now, Matt, you've been to the New York showcase as well.
I have, yeah. So, my Broadway Dreams experience started in 2018. the first year it came to New Zealand. I was actually fresh out of hospital, having had spinal surgery.
Wow.
And my first year of Broadway Dreams, which was a bit of a wild, one. And then I did it the 3 years, and then obviously 2020 rolled around and everything shut down. Because of that, a lot of the showcase nominees couldn't go to showcase, and they very last minute text a bunch of the Kiwis who were nominated and who were reserves for nominees, and offered me a place to go over to New York and perform, which was a quick turnaround, quick fundraising, but totally worth it. It was awesome. Yeah.
Whereas for you, Tia, it wasn't till last year that you got to pick up your opportunity.
Yeah. 2023?
Not last year, the year before, because it's 25 now. Yeah, 23, you finally got to go when you were nominated in 2020.
Definitely worth the wait, I'd say. Yeah. And I was like grown up more, so I think I could like fully experience everything and take in all the everything that I was learning and everything.
So when you say interns, Emma introduced you as an intern. What does that entail? What's your role in this current one?
There's a couple of different kinds of interns. So when you apply, you can apply to be a performance intern. You could apply to be a social media intern, a videographer intern. There's lots of different kind of categories, I suppose you could call them. Tia and I are performance interns, which is a mix of jobs. There's the opportunity to potentially work alongside some of the people they've brought over. But other than that, it's just kind of helping make sure that the week runs smoothly, making sure people are in the right place at the right time. Coffee runs for the faculty, which is a personal favourite. And then for our social media interns, they basically take over the account, do all the promotion, all the daily wrap-up videos, and then our videographer intern, James, he's making some kind of big trailer to kind of encapsulate what the week is at Broadway Dreams.
It's been really cool in the last couple of weeks because obviously Broadway Dreams have been promoting to get people to come along. Seeing some of you as your little selves. And a lot of people that have gone on quite far as well. So you've also got people like this week joining you. Tell us who you've got joining you, maybe that have come through Broadway Dreams New Zealand. I know that Kirsten's beaming in from
Australia.
Kirsten is beaming in from Australia. And I see because Jason Westland Yand, of course, is in New Zealand, so he's joining you.
He's here. We've got Hayden T joining us in person for the week, which is awesome. Another Kiwi who's made it big overseas. We've got Spencer Liff, who is a mastermind. That man, there's nothing that man can't do. He's the choreographer of Head Over Heels on Broadway, the recent popular musical Drag off Broadway. He's an absolute mastermind of his craft, and he's directing our showcase this week, which is awesome.
Very cool. So what's your favourite part of the week-long intensive, Tia?
I would have to say the day of showcase. It's like all the adrenaline, all the nerves. And it's like those last-minute changes that are just so fun to have put up on you. Everyone's, like, all riled up. We're ready to show all our hard work. I don't know, it's just all the vibes from the week just get shoved into this one day, and it's very, like, community and family, and everyone's so excited because we all love what we're doing, and we can't wait to showcase it.
Very cool. And I'm going to ask you the opposite, Matt. What's the scariest part of the week?
Well, the scariest part of the week, I think I can tail off that kind of in that as exciting as it is that we're putting on a show, we forget sometimes that it's kind of being put together in like 4 days. A show from start to finish, fully choreographed, all the music learned off book, everything, lighting, sound, there's a live band, it's all done in 4 days. So I think the like looming idea of that is quite scary. Today we had our first day, which was auditions. So in the morning we did a dance call with Spencer, which was about an hour and a half, which we got put through our paces with a number from Drag the Musical, doing the original Broadway choreography, which was exciting, learning it from the choreographer himself. And then we spent the day doing our vocal auditions, so one at a time going in and singing for the panel and them kind of deciding who's best fit where for what numbers, and what faculty want to work with what particular students on certain things. So yeah, I suppose that's kind of a bit of a daunting day. You don't really know what they're looking for. You obviously know they want you to do your best, but performing in front of a bunch of people at that, working at that level, is always quite a daunting task.
So I know you're interning, but are the two of you getting to perform as well? Like, were you part of those auditions?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
And can anyone sign up for this, or is there an audition process to come into the program?
Anyone can sign up. I think the thing about Broadway Dreams that's so special is it's performing arts for everyone. Mm-hmm. So there's no age limit, no talent ability. When you sign up, you send in a video of whether you want to sing for them, you want to dance for them, you want to perform a monologue, whatever performing is to you. You can submit that, and they take everyone. So it's just, those videos are just an idea of the faculty overseas to kind of see what they could do, and then they wait till they meet you in person to kind of decide what they can do with the talent that they've got. So yeah, it's performing arts for everyone.
And when you think of your trip to Broadway itself, what some of the highlights from that trip? What's the thing that you instantly remember?
I was racking my brain about this today, and I think the highlight for me of my time doing Showcase in New York was being cast in a section of the show. We did a Bring It On section, and it was directed by Ryan Redmond, who was in the original Broadway cast of Bring It On. The choreography was set by another original Broadway cast member who was currently in Hamilton on Broadway, so she set the original Broadway choreography on us. So that was enough pressure as it was, and then night of the showcase, we're about to walk on, and I pop my head into the theatre, and who do I see sitting in the front row, right where I know I'm about to stand to do my solo, is the man that originated the role that I was about to sing, sitting a metre away from me. I turned to Annette and I said, "What have you done?" She said, "You're welcome." So that was terrifying, but also just like a huge pinch me moment for one of your idols to be sitting a metre away from you, about to listen to you sing the thing that they created.
Yeah,
so I think
yeah.
That's kind of like the core memory that sticks with me.
And what about you, Tia? Because obviously you went to New York in 23, but last year you went to...
I went to Nashville, Tennessee.
Did you have to change your accent when you were in Nashville?
You know what? It's like a subconscious thing when you, like, you kind of have to try, because no one can understand me, right? So you kind of have to, like, put on an accent so people understand. But, one of my favourite moments in America was honestly meeting the Americans. I guess it's such a different culture shift over there in terms of performing arts, because it is much more, I want to say, like, open over there. So yeah, seeing these Americans, and one thing about Broadway Dreams is all these like lifelong connections I've made with people from all over the world that love doing the same thing as me. That's what I loved about America.
Brilliant. All right, we're going to take a short music break, then we're going to pause on Broadway Dreams and unpack their own dreams and find out who these people are before they got to this space and where they hope to head next. Graham Candy's up with Graham Candy in the Public House. Here is his track, Inside.
Thank you.
That's Graham Candy and the Public House with Inside.
Now, Stephen, did you... Well, I mean, we've interviewed Graham a couple of times, but isn't it a quinky-dink that he started with musical theatre in Tamaki as well?
Yeah. So it's the place to start.
It definitely is.
But where did these two start? I know a bit of Tia's story, but I don't know Matt. So, Matt, kick it off. Take us right back. When did the arts first kick you in the bum?
The arts first kicked me in the bum in year six of primary school when I was, in the classic way that primary schools used to do, forced me to do the school production in year six.
Brilliant.
I'd really shown no interest in singing or dancing, and everyone had to audition for a part. It wasn't a choice. You just had to do it. And I went home one day and said, "Mum, I got cast as Joseph in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat." And they said, "Good joke. Nice try." And I was like, "No." So they called the school and...
Well, he's got a bit of a Donny Osmond look about him. I could see it.
First I've heard of that.
Don't you think? Young Donny, definitely.
Young Donny.
I'll take
it. Carry on. But I've got to ask first, before you carry on with the rest of your journey, what school was this? Because we want to praise them for forcing people to audition.
I went to Campbell's Bay Primary, and they still do productions like that. All of the year fives and sixes are involved every year. I think it's great. Like, you know, now it's less of you don't have to audition for a lead role if you don't want to. But back then, we all auditioned. We all sung on our own, and it, you know, I suppose started my journey for me without me even really knowing it. I think once I did that show, I didn't do another show until I was in, year 11 or 12 at high school. I didn't really do another proper like musical until then. I went to Westlake Boys, so I did Sweeney Todd in my final year at high school, which was kind of the biggest school show that I ended up doing, which was awesome. And then from there, I jumped actually straight into Broadway Dreams. That was kind of where it continued, and then through that and the connections that I made with some of the friends that I made, ended up auditioning for some community theatre shows around Auckland. My first community theatre show was Carrie with Auckland Music Theatre, which I think was an awesome one to start off with. I absolutely loved being part of that show, and that wouldn't have happened. I know it's very it's very convenient, but it wouldn't have happened had I not done Broadway Dreams and met the people that I had. Yeah.
And what's your... Where's it taken you since then? I mean, Carrie was a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, quite a few years ago now. I've just continued performing around Auckland. I was lucky enough at the start of 20... Oh, gosh, when was it? 20... All the years get confused now. Mid-2023, I did my first professional contract. I was part of an immersive theatre experience on board a 110-foot super yacht on the Auckland Viaduct for 16 weeks, which was... a super cool experience, something that I never expected that I would be doing at my age, but that kind of came out of nowhere. And then through that, for the first 4 months of 2024, I toured Australia and New Zealand with an outdoor musical production of Romeo and Juliet with a production company called The Barden Party. So they take Shakespeare, musical Shakespeare, we all play the instruments live, we take it to people's backyards, we toured all around Australia to the Adelaide Fringe Festival, and then did 2 months around New Zealand as well. So I've been very, very lucky with the gigs that I've had the last couple of years.
Very cool. Yeah. And, of course, you've also been a part of a pretty special program with Smoky Mirrors as well, where you've been a support dancer.
Yeah, no, Smoky Mirror is a company that is very near and dear to my heart. Two of my best friends in the entire world, Josh and Louise, who started that company together, the work they do is just phenomenal. And to be... It's a privilege to be on that stage with those kids. They just, the love and the passion that they have for what they do is just like, it just fills my bucket of having a bad day.
I love that you call them, though, the kids.
Because some of them
are actually older than you.
Correct. we do call them the kids, and I've had that
well,
said to me.
Well, they're your students.
Yeah, students, I suppose. But it's just... It's the biggest bucket filler just to see the way their faces light up when you walk into a room and the passion and the, it's incredible.
Now, before we jump to Tia, sorry, Stephen, I cut you off. I want to say, though, so you're going back to the classroom this year because since you've left school, you've actually trained as a teacher.
Yes.
Which you haven't said yet.
So, yes.
And that was going to be my question, is what does 2025 look like for you?
2025 looks like... So I finished my tour last year and then was part of another project, which is still a little bit hush-hush, so can't talk about
that.
It's on the TV. Don't tell anyone.
Oh, not yet. Not yet on the TV.
In a few months. I'm loving this ASMR.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, so I was offered a contract back at the school that I was teaching at. So I'm a new entrant primary school teacher by day. And I left my job to go and pursue this tour and pursue this Hush Hush project. But 2025 for me looks like going back to the classroom, hanging out with my new entrants and putting on their first ever school musical.
So, I was just going to say, and you're going to force everyone to audition.
Well, that was part of the reason for me coming back. They said, do you want to put on a show? And I said, give me the contract.
Great.
Now, we have missed one thing, though. When is the comeback tour of Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat?
This is such a great question. I would kill to play that role again. I really would. I look back at the videos now and I'm like, that's humbling. Listening to 9-year-old Matt singing Close Every Door in an octave that should never be sung in. I'm just like, I'd quite like a nicer recording of that. So if anyone's putting on a production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, hit me up.
Nice.
Brilliant. All right, Tia, your turn. Take us back.
Yes. Okay, let's go all the way back to, like, 2009. Little, 2-3-year-old Tia. I couldn't stop moving as like a baby, and Mum was like, no, I need to contain her. So I went to dance class. I started as a little dancer, a little sunflower, a little dancing elf, in a studio called Renaissance School of Dance in Papatoetoe. So I was dancing competitively with them throughout my primary school years. And at the dance school, they were advertising Honk at Monaco Performing Arts. And Mum was like, why not? Let's just give it a go. And I remember I was like 7 and I'm sitting in like the audition room and it was the most scariest thing for me. And it was literally just Monaco Performing Arts. And like, all these other kids are there and like, what is your audition song? And I was like, oh, like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Like I was not ready. Anyway, I go there and I remember we had to give our best like quack. And I guess I had the best quack, and I was cast as the Ugly Duckling's little sister. So, yeah, that's kind of where I started my journey. Got the bug from there, and then, yeah, started.
And who was the director of that show?
Oh, Mr. Jason Timete, who's literally uncle now. Big ups to him. but, yeah, started auditioning for other community junior shows, and then in 2016 started my professional debut as Debbie Wilkinson in Auckland Theatre Company's Billy Elliot at the Waterfront Theatre. And yeah, that was a big thing for me because I was very young, but on a big stage, it was super special to me. And yeah, I think I did 2 other professional shows after that. And then yeah, started high school and then obviously COVID. So I had to put a pause on that, which was kind of hard. Because all I wanted to do was perform and entertain, but it was quite hard to do that on a screen, on a TV. I mean, laptop. So, yeah. But, yeah, Broadway Dreams happened before that. That really got me going. Did some Broadway Dreams online also, actually, during lockdown. Mm. But, yeah, after... I'm doing my whole story. Sorry, everybody. The whole rant. After COVID, did some school shows. I toured the show that I wrote with some other beautiful wahine called Hine Terehia. We performed it at Basement Theatre in town. And then last year we went to Wellington to tour it around there. So that was super special for me. Like pouring my heart out on stage, which is actually my story, which was really special to me. And yeah, here I am now, finished high school and ready for the world.
And what is the next steps? Where are you looking? Where are you heading?
I'm heading to Wellington. I got into Toi Whakaari, the drama school down there. So I will be studying Bachelor of Acting for 3 years. And yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait. Yes.
So cool. So cool seeing our young people with forward plans and visions.
Mm. She left out all the stories, though, about the fact that she's been in shows been directed by both of us.
She's been in both of our shows.
6 years of training.
Oh, yes.
From stage
entrance.
Kind
of presuming we know forgets that our listeners don't.
JTF.
JTF, I know. I was going to say, you didn't get to go to America in 2020, but you did do something pretty fantastic.
Yes. Oh, which one?
Frozen.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I did
the New Zealand premiere
of Frozen Junior, and I was super grateful to be playing Elsa alongside Broadway Dreams alumni Scarlett Jax, who was
Shout
Anna.
Out Scarlett.
Shout out Scarlett. yeah, JTF has been super eye-opening for me as well, and for all kids my age as well. Yeah, went to Australia with JTF.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then last year you went to Australia again.
Oh.
And, of course, were on TV for that as well,
the
ANZAC service, which was the last time you were here being interviewed, actually, was part of to talk about the secondary schools ANZAC service that you represent in New Zealand at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't remember anything.
So many things. All right. We're going to take a short music break, and after the break, it's time for our quick fire kick arts questions to these two young people, and then we'll have a few bulletins for you. Remember, if you've got something coming up, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. I talked at the start of the show about the fabulous musical Tina. It's coming to the end of a very long run around Australia. Here is a number called Don't Turn Around, and it's a rather serious part of the show.
I don't want to leave, but I don't want you to stay. I think you gotta go, darling. It's better this way. I'm gonna be strong, I'm gonna do fine. Don't worry about this heart of mine. Just walk out the door, walk on right through. Go on and go now, but don't turn around, 'cause you're gonna see my heart breaking. Don't turn around, I don't want you seeing me cry. Just walk away, it's tearing me apart that you're leaving. I'm letting you go.
Fabulous musical, absolutely fabulous, and some good Kiwis in that one as well.
Mm. And it's funny, it's like this small world connection because, of course, there's a Broadway Dreams alumni in the swing,
role.
She's the understudy, Tina. Christmas
she's Stokes. The understudy. I always get confused whether they're called understudies.
Well, they have multiple. They have an alternate
swings.
And an understudy. Yeah. Kristen's the understudy, but there is an alternate as
she's
well.
Fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. She played, last time I saw it, she was actually and swinging into the Tina's grandmother's role.
Yes, that's all right. Oh,
yeah. And that was gorgeous to see her in that. Yeah. She did such a good job.
Yeah. So, quickfire questions.
Quickfire questions. All right, Matt.
Okay.
Standing behind you is the best producer ever of theatre around the world, and he's walked in the door and said, Matt, what's your dream role? I'm going to give it to you. If it's not taking over from Donovan, what is your dream role?
Is it allowed to be something I've played already?
Yeah, anything. But
Billy Crocker and Anything Goes.
Oh, yeah, period.
Why? Why do you love that one so much?
It is the first role that I ever got to play that I got to dance and sing to the same, like, extent, I suppose. The lead roles that I've played in the past have either been, like, they've always been straight singers. It's why I love being in the ensemble of shows, because I love to dance. I tend to lean more towards that because of the dance element. But this role was just like the perfect balance. I got to sing a beautiful ballad, and then there's like a 45 second dance break in the middle of the song. I feel like it's every singer dancer's dream. So I want to do it again.
Cool. I like that. Okay. Tia, same question. Producers offering you a role. What is it?
Okay. So I remember, a couple years ago, they were like, La La Land, the musical, is going to be on Broadway. And it actually never happened. But Mia from La La Land, the musical, if it's still a thing, would be my dream role, because I absolutely adore the movie. I love Emma Watson. I love jazz music as well. I love to tap, and tapping and singing at the same time is just a dream. But yeah, that's my dream role.
See, I would have thought that you were going to say something rotten.
Oh,
well, you'd be so good.
Maybe that one too.
Too late.
All right.
Too late. Womp womp.
Different person walks in the door and says, Matt, you can't be on stage at all, but you could do any other dream role in any production of your choosing around the world, but not on stage. A, what would you do, and what would be the production?
As in, like,
director.
You could say, I want to direct Phantom of the Opera, or I want to be,
oh gosh,
second follow spot operator on Aida.
Oh, wow. Oh, God, that is a really tricky question.
Tia, have you got one?
No.
Oh, God, I've stumped them. Oh, I've stumped the young people, Emma.
Well, first of all, think of the role. What role would you want to do? Would you want to direct?
I feel like I want to do something really quirky and unusual.
Mm. Like dramaturg, go and assist someone. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Hold on. Who? No, I know what it is. Jeremy Jordan is playing the lead role in the show.
Hmm.
And I'm his, like, is there a role for, like, a PA for the leading man? Is that a thing?
Probably in some of these bigger shows, definitely.
So you run and get his coffee?
Yeah. Jeremy Jordan. Oh, yeah. Shout out Jeremy Jordan.
You're like his...
Careful.
His right-hand man.
His right-hand man, exactly. No, that would be so cool. Coffee, take my notes, get my dry cleaning, call the taxi, Uber. Call the Uber.
Love it.
Mm.
Okay, brilliant. All right, Tia, same question. Anywhere in the world, any role, what would it be?
Okay, I would love to, like, paint Alphaba green every single night.
Ooh. That's an interesting
No,
job.
I don't know.
Wouldn't
that would
it get boring?
I feel like it would be so fun for one night only.
No, I think it would be so fun.
I guess it depends on your alphabet. If you've got one that engages with you and you enjoy...
Oh, Cynthia Hands down.
Cynthia's. But if you can paint alphabet, you could probably do the quick change for Shrek.
Yeah.
Imagine. See, that would be... To me, that would be more exciting. The challenge of turning her green and back to white and then green again.
Well, here you go. What she could do is... You work both jobs at the same time.
Yes,
so you go to the Gershwin, you paint Alphaba green, and then you rush over to wherever Shrek's playing, and the same night you do...
The quick change.
And as you travel, green. A big quack for honk.
Give us a quack, Tia.
I remember this is how I did it when I was 7. I was like this, quack! Like, I was like so petite and so Tony demure.
And how would you quack now?
Quack!
Nice. Sorry, everybody.
Brilliant. Matt, who's inspired you? Or who continues to inspire you?
Who continues to inspire me? One that comes to mind is...
Other than Jeremy Jordan.
Other than Jeremy Jordan. And other than Emma Bishop. Correct answer, right? I think for me it was... I mean, honestly, and this is like the... It's not a cringy answer, but it's all related to why we're here. The people behind Broadway Dreams are the reason that I think I still have the fire in me. They've shown that... It is possible. I've seen it firsthand with some of my best friends performing on, you know, national tours in the US, performing on the Disney Cruise Lines and new productions. Like, they've shown that it is possible. And the fact that I've been able to make these connections with such important people in the industry, and just to even know them, you know, like, I talked to my friends about it, and all it would take is some American casting agent to be like, I need someone who looks like this, who can sing like this, and has this accent. And all it takes is for one of them to be like, oh, I know a guy or a girl in New Zealand. And there you go. Like, as like unlikely as it is to happen like that, you know, more of a chance than if you didn't know them. So I think the connections that the company builds in that respect is kind of what keeps me going, and getting to work alongside them and just see people who are working giving back to the people who were in a position where they were once is is like uber inspiring.
So if I time jump you then 5 years, who would you like to inspire? Thinking along that lines, but is there a difference?
Yeah, it's a real sappy answer. I think it's part of the reason why I'm a primary school teacher. I do it because I want to be the person that I didn't have as a young kid. Not that I didn't have good teachers. I had some great teachers, but you hear horror stories, right? And just building up that younger generation. And it's great being like a male in musical theatre as a new entrant teacher. You don't get many of those. So kind of being that figure to show boys especially at that age when singing and dancing isn't exactly cool, quote-unquote, sort of show them and kind of be that person to see some of the like journeys that a couple of my students have been on is... yeah, why I do it, I think.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, I was having this conversation today, actually, about with somebody who's in education about the importance of play and its disappearing from our early childhood.
Yeah.
Sort of classrooms and our big, you know, early years in primary school. It's so important. I think my own daughter, if I ask her her favourite teacher, it's still the year three teacher who played the guitar constantly in the class. Yeah. And whenever anything was happening, he had music happening. We'll always remember. All right, Tia, who's inspired you?
He's a close friend of mine. His name is Matu Ngaropo. Okay, maybe last year he just finished a tour of Hamilton as George Washington. He's very near and dear to my heart. Yeah, he also graduated Toi Whakaari, which is where I will be this year. So that's also special to me. And, yeah, we're also whānau, which is also great. And, yeah, he just finished William Shakespeare in Something Rotten, which is a dream role, but that's amazing. Yeah, and he's, I don't know, Māori, as Māori in the industry, I think it's so amazing for me to see people with my heritage, I guess, going out and doing big things. I don't know, it's really inspiring for our people.
And he's a genuine nice guy.
He's amazing, yeah.
Matu worked for me many years ago and used to do touring shows for me and used to arrive at my house at about 7 in the morning to my two little children, and he would come in and make himself a cup of coffee while he waited to get the car and chat away to them. It's just always been a dream. Yes, yeah, that's cool. And who would you like to inspire?
Probably my two little brothers.
You already inspire them.
Well, they just... both of them now have started getting into the world of theatre, and I just finished a show with them with Stage Antics, Dot and the Kangaroo, which was so, so, so special to me. So, yeah, I just love to show them that, I don't know, just to stick to your dream and, like, if you're really passionate about something, just go for it.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, shout out to the boys.
And they're both heading to America in 2026 with Kiwi All Stars. So keep an eye out for their fundraising and help them out.
What a blooming talented family.
Now, we have run out of time. Matt, you've got 20 seconds. How can people get tickets to come and see your end performance coming up?
I believe if you go on to the Broadway Dreams Facebook page, there is a link. Tickets can be booked through, I believe it's like a Google form. So you pop your details in there and then it's a bank transfer type of situation. I also imagine if you rock up on the night, unless we sell out, which, I mean, hopefully we do, but I imagine there will also be door sales on the night.
And there's two shows.
Two shows, yes.
Auckland Music Theatre.
Auckland Music Theatre, West Point Performing Arts.
4 o'clock and 7 o'clock, I think.
Four and seven, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you both for coming in. Lovely to see you both. Good luck with the week and all your Broadway, West End, Jason Donovan dreams. Have a fabulous week. We are out of time. Emma, we're going to play out with Fame, the musical, which is taking place at Tauranga Music Theatre. Have a fabulous week and make sure you
kick some art.
Nice.
I'm going to live forever. FM.